The idea of this series is we think that as you think about your future, it's really important for you to take care of your soul, because we've all seen on the news, maybe you've seen it in real life, in a family member, maybe you've seen it in yourself, somebody that portrays one version of themselves, but behind the scenes, there's something entirely different going on, and then somehow they're found out, somehow it all kind of breaks loose, and we see the person everybody thought they were is not actually the person that they are, and there is a difference between the outside of them and the inside of them, and we ask the question, maybe not in so many words, but when we see that happen to somebody else, when we see it on the news, again, maybe that happened in your own family, we ask, well, how could they live with themselves? I mean, how could they keep showing up to dinner? How could they keep living this lie? How could they keep being this person that everybody respected and loved and wanted to be around? And behind the scenes, they had this other chaotic life going on. They had another family in another state, or they were stealing money, whatever that looked like. And we say, man, I could never live with myself. If that was me, I wouldn't be able to keep showing up to dinner. I wouldn't be able to face people. My conscience just wouldn't allow it. And last week we said, yes, you could. Yes, you could. And yes, I could. We could live with ourselves. We might not be able to live with the current version of ourselves, but if our soul is left unattended, we can become somebody in the future that right now we don't recognize, that our current self might not be our future selves. We are, myself included, we're all candidates for this. I see it on the news. I saw another one this week of people that get on a stage and put on a microphone and are pastors of a church who have a totally different life. And we think to ourselves, well, that could never happen to me. Yes, it could. Yes, it could happen to you. It could happen to me. It happens every single day. And so we said last week that you and I, we're all in the same boat, that we have the potential to become someone we would despise if we met them. The bad news is for some of us, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're in the room, maybe you're in that situation today, and you know, nobody else knows, but I've got a secret, and there's something else going on behind the scenes that I'm just managing this, and slowly over time, I have become someone that I didn't intend to be. I didn't get to where I am on purpose. I just made compromise after compromise and little choice after little choice. And suddenly I'm worried, are they gonna find out? I'm really careful, am I gonna be found out by my boss or by my kids or by my husband or by my wife? And what we said last week, and the reason we're spending 3 weeks on this, is that the health of your soul, not your church attendance, because again, we see it all the time, people are great church attenders, but it's the health of your soul. What's happening on the inside of you? This is just the when I say soul, I'm just talking about that inward part of you that we can't see, but really kind of directs your life. The health of your soul determines your capacity for duplicity. The duplicity is the gap between who I say that I am in public and who I really am behind closed doors. And healthy souls see there starts to be a gap between all of us, because we're all the time, we're all seeing opportunities to make compromises and to just hide a little bit and to cut corners and to slip into some gray area. And healthy souls, they see that there starts to become a duplicity. They see that there starts to be a gap between who I am and who I present. And healthy souls do whatever it takes. I got to close that gap. I don't want there to be this difference. Unhealthy souls, they don't close the gap, they manage it. Healthy souls work to figure out, how can I keep this hidden? How can I make sure that nobody finds out? Unhealthy souls ask the question, is it really that big of a deal? Well, everybody else is kind of doing it. You make excuses. You say, well, this is just the way that I am. This is just the way that my parents were. And all of a sudden, I'm not the person that I thought I was, because there's duplicities. And so last week, we gave you the first habit, and that was just to surrender your will. If you want to have a healthy soul, if you want to make sure the future you is a you that you can live with, the future you is somebody that you think, yes, that's exactly who I am in private and in public, we surrender our will. We, every single morning, you wake up before you got to get into your to-do list, and you say something like, God, today again, just like yesterday. Here's my mind, here's my ears, here's my eyes, here's my the way that I talk, here's my hopes and my dreams and my desires, my hands, my feet, every part of me, thy will be done. It's kind of echoing the prayer that Jesus taught us to do. Your will be done in my life, as in my work, with my resources, and we do it every single day. It's not a one-time thing. That if you surrender your will today, that doesn't help you tomorrow. We do it every single day. And today we're going to see from Jesus this second habit. If you have a Bible this morning, if you want to follow along, whether it's printed or on your phone or you're following along, we're going to be in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, it's a fascinating chapter. We're not going to read all of it because there's some details there we're just not going to dive into today. But Jesus is encountering some Pharisees, which are just religious leaders of the time, and they have what you're going to see the words, tradition of the elders, which are rules that weren't from God. They were just rules that they put in place to kind of control people, and they kind of use them to manipulate people. And they had all these rules on top of rules on top of rules, and they used those to control people and make people feel guilty. And Jesus was not into that at all. Jesus looked at what they called the tradition of the elders, or other translations might say oral Torah, and they say, Jesus, this is not the direction we're going, Jesus would say. And we're going to see that together. And at the end of this little context, Jesus shows us this second habit that is so, so important. We're going to see it, that hopefully if we implement it into our lives, we can safeguard our soul. So, Mark chapter 7. Verse number 5 is where we're going to start. It's going to be on the screens if you don't have a Bible. It's no problem. Skipping down, we're kind of jumping into the middle of a conversation. You can read it for yourself, but the Pharisees are getting on to Jesus' disciples. They didn't wash their hands properly. That's the context. There was an oral Torah or a tradition of the elders about you had this very meticulous hand washing. It wasn't something that God gave. It was something that just some guys at some point made up. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were getting on to Jesus' disciples about, hey, why didn't you do the thing that you're supposed to do? We're kind of jumping into verse number 5. So the Pharisees and the scribes, just religious leaders of the time, asked him, that's being Jesus, why don't your disciples live, here's our word, according to not God's law, but why don't they live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating bread with ceremonially unclean hands? Jesus answered them, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you hypocrites. He just had no time for these guys. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips. Here's our word. Their heart is far from me. And so on the outside, they've got it going on. On the outside, they know how to look. They know how to talk. They know how to pray. On the outside, people would look at them and say, boy, them and God are close. God really loves them. And Jesus would say, the outside looks good, but your inside's rotten. That you've got you're jumping all through all the hoops and you're dotting all the I's and you're crossing all the T's, but your heart, it's nowhere near God. It would be said like us, if we were to bring it into our context, we'd say, great church attender. I mean, never miss a week. Talking about, boy, they're dressed up and they know all the songs and they know what to say. And when I say Mark 7, they know exactly how to get there. But the inside of you is messed up. The inside of you is rotten. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines human commands, abandoning the command of God. You hold on to human tradition. He also said to them, you have a fine way of invalidating God's command in order to set up your traditions. And so the real law was there are some things that Jewish people aren't supposed to eat. That was the law that was given. And then these religious leaders came along and says, I want to add some things to that. Not only can't you eat that, but before you eat some other things, you've got to jump through all of these things. And Jesus was saying, you've missed the point. You've elevated these rules over people. That you have said the rules are more important than people. And this is not part of today's kind of lesson or talk, but here's just an important aside for some of us. And maybe for some of you, the reason that you kind of pushed away from church and maybe you're kind of kicking the tires, but you're a little bit cautious, is there was some times in your life where it felt to you like people valued the rules over you. That there was God and then there was the rules and you were all the way down here. Jesus comes along and says, the rules are meant for people. They're meant to help people, not to hold people down, not to manipulate people, not to control people, not to give people this guilt trip. Jesus said, you got it all wrong. And so if you've ever been in the situation where it felt like to you somebody elevated a rule in order to beat you up with it, they were the ones that were wrong. That God's law, is there some, you should do some things and you shouldn't do some things? Yes. But they are for our benefit. Every law that God gives is so that I can come to a better place, so that my future is better, so that God brings me to a place that God wants me to be. The laws and the rules and the commandments aren't to beat people up with. They're not to whack-a-mole people with. And Jesus comes against these Pharisees and says, you've got all these rules, but you've missed out on the more important thing. You obeyed the rules, but your heart, well, it's a long ways from me. Now, skip down. He gives this great example of how people were mistreating their parents in order to keep some money, but they kind of disguised it in a way that they were being really holy. You should read it for yourself. It's a fascinating, fascinating thing. We're not going to read that today, but if you skip down to verse number 14, Jesus circles back to this idea. Summoning the crowd again, he told them, listen to me, all of you. He's trying to teach us something. And understand, nothing that goes into a person from the outside can defile them. So, you know, you think about Jewish people and bacon and pork and all the things that they weren't allowed to eat. Jesus is saying, hey, those aren't the things that put you at odds with God. That's what you're going to see over and over again, the word defile. What that just means is I'm at odds with God. And the Jewish tradition and the laws were, hey, there's some things that you can't eat, and if you eat it, you're at odds with God. And the Pharisees and religious leaders have said, not only if you don't eat it are you at odds with God, but if you don't wash your hands quite right, you're at odds with God. And Jesus comes along and says, you've just missed the point altogether. Listen to me, all of you, and understand, nothing that goes into a person from outside can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Then he went into the house away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, are you also lacking in understanding? Don't you realize that nothing going into a person from the outside can defile him? For, and then he kind of gives this word picture that all of us are like, boy, that's in the Bible. For it doesn't go into his heart, but it goes into the stomach and it's eliminated. We know that. Thus, he declared all foods clean. And he said, and this is our important part. This is the habit that Jesus is giving us that can safeguard your soul. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. It's not what you eat. It's not all those external things. It's what's going on inside of you. That is what can put you at odds with God. For from within, out of people, here's our word, out of people's hearts come, he's going to give us a list, evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a person. So Jesus is inviting his readers and his listeners, and he's inviting us. You've got to, as you walk through life, you've got to pay careful attention to what's within. Because what's going on the inside of you doesn't stay on the inside of you. All of us, we're all in the same boat together. We leak. And what's happening on the inside of me eventually will come outside and be presented to you. I can't just keep this heart that's full of anger, or this heart that's full of bitterness, or this heart that's full of jealousy, or this heart that's full of anxiety, and keep that internal and all of my external relationships be fine and dandy. It doesn't work. I leak. What I have inside of me eventually comes out to the people I work with, the people that I'm married to, the children that I'm raising, all of the people that I love and care the most about. They are being impacted by what's happening inside of me. The outside of me is a reflection of what's going on. The condition of your heart, what's going on inside of here, eventually will be reflected in your behavior. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Caden, I asked Caden before service if he would help me. Caden, would you come and help me? He didn't. You know what I like about Caden? I just said, hey, Caden, will you help me with my sermon? And he didn't ask, what do you want? He just said yes. And that's my favorite kind of person. Caden, come all the way up on the stage. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Caden is a seventh grader, doing a great job in seventh grade. Now, Caden, I want you just to hold this cup for me right here. Just stand just right there. Are you nervous or no? Be a little bit, that's fine. This is an important lesson for you later on in life that maybe you should ask some details before just saying yes. So I want you to imagine Caden here, and Caden, I'm just gonna fill you up here. I'm gonna fill you all the way full, okay? Just to the brim. A little extra, okay, that's fine. Now, I want you to imagine my friend Caden here. Caden's got some anger issues, he's got some problems, he's got just some situations going on. And Caden, walk over here, Caden, would you please? Just go and walk over here. Yep, that's fine. Now you notice when Caden walked over here, guess what he brought with him? Brought all that anger, all that frustration. And then inevitably in life, and you can't do anything about this, this is just a thing. You go to work, you go to school, you go to seventh grade, you're running cross country, doing life. And here's what eventually happens, probably more often than you want. You get a little bump. Now, why, when I bumped Caden, did that come out? Why didn't orange juice come out of this when I bumped Caden? Well, because orange juice is not in there. What came out of Caden, or what came out of here, came out because he got bumped. And what was already in came out. And so what we think is, well, I'm getting bumped a lot, and it's your fault that I exploded on you. You bumped me, and now I just flew off the handle. It's easy to see when you're on the other side, because you've asked this question. You've said, why did you get so angry at that little thing? Why did you turn this little molehill into a mountain? It's easy to see on the other side. You say, well, that wasn't that big of a deal. It was an accidental bump. I didn't even mean to do that. And you flew off the handle and you bit my head off, or you got swollen, or you iced me out, or whatever that looks like. And we see it on the other side. But what we don't often see is when we are the one that ices people out, or when we are the person that yells or gets carried away or has to go back and apologize, we say that, well, the reason I did that is because you bumped me. Well, it's also true. I mean, it was my fault that I bumped him. But what Jesus is trying to communicate is whatever it is you carry around in your heart, that's coming out. And yes, should I be more careful not to bump my friend Caden? I should be. But, Caden, again, come over here. You notice what comes with Caden everywhere he goes? What he's carrying. And so you could find a new marriage, but guess what you're carrying with you? You can find a new job, but you're carrying it with you. And Jesus says, what's inside of here eventually gets leaked out to you. Eventually it results. An internal thing comes out. And so what Jesus invites us to do instead is this. Caden, thank you for saying yes. I'm proud of you. We're just going all the way full again. That's fine. Don't worry about that. Some of you are so stressed about the water on the floor right now. You don't have to worry about it. It's not your house. You don't have to clean it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And so what Jesus says, and the Apostle Paul affirms later in Galatians, is he says, here's what Christians to be filled with. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. Why does he want us to be filled with those things? Because Jesus understood, and the Apostle Paul understood, bumps happen. Bumps happen. But when the bump happened, guess what flew out of the, well, love came out, and joy came out, and peace came out, and self-control. I shouldn't have bumped him. But you can't get, unless you go live as a hermit on a deserted island, you're getting bumped. You just, in, People are the worst, right? I mean, people are awful. No one likes people that I know. I can't think of any people that just, you know, are in this perfect all the time relational that's no stress and no drama. You work with crazy people, right? I mean, you're thinking of someone already that you're married to crazy people. You're trying to raise crazy people. They're gonna bump you. And Jesus said, hey, you better watch out what's going on the inside. Because if you allow bitterness and anger and all these things, when you inevitably get bumped, you're gonna explode on people. But if you can get love and joy and peace and patience, all those things, well, you still get bumped, but you're not having to circle back and apologize. You're not having to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't really mean that, because there's something coming out. Everybody give Caden a round of applause. Thank you so much, Caden. You are the best. And so, great job, Caden. Sorry that you're wet. My original idea was different, but I decided to do it with water. And so, have you ever met anybody? Let me show you the list again. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, envy, slander. Have you ever met somebody that was taken out and taken down and had their reputation ruined by one of these? You know, anybody that lost their family, their career, reputation, future, because of one of these? Do you remember how shocked you were? You remember how you said, not them. No way, I can't believe it. How did they live with themselves? Well, it's simple. They ignored what was going on inside. They ignored the heart. They managed the gap instead of closing the gap. And they became a different self. They became a self that they did not plan on being. They became a self that they never intended to live with. And so what's our first habit? Was surrender your will. The second habit, in case you haven't worked it out yet, is you gotta monitor your heart. You gotta monitor heart. You gotta pay attention to what's going on the inside. Pay attention. Did you get bumped this week at some point? What came out? What came out when your life didn't go the way that you thought it was gonna go? What happened when your schedule got turned upside down and stress started piling up? You've gotta pay attention. What am I leaking out? What comes out of me when, yeah, it wasn't fair, it wasn't right that they bumped into you. They probably should apologize. They should probably be careful that they don't do that again. But what came out, that's a them problem. The you problem is what are you leaking? You've got to pay attention to what's going on the outside before you just start pointing your finger, it's your fault, you're the reason I did this. If you wouldn't have, I wouldn't have. No. It's a you problem. It's a me problem. The reason I exploded onto them was it was inside of me. Pay attention to what's within. Let me give you three, and we're gonna be done for the day. Let me give you three things. These are not the only three things, but these are three things that I want you to really, really, really watch out for. These things will get inside of your heart. They will rot you. They will mess you up. They will take you to a place that you don't want to be, really quickly, and then we're gonna be done. I want you to pay attention specifically to guilt, to anger, and to jealousy. Guilt, anger, and jealousy. Because if you let them inside of you, and if you let them grow, and if you let them fester, the you that you are today will not be the you that you are tomorrow. Left unchecked, they will turn your heart into a heart that you do not want to be involved with. Guilt says, here's what guilt says. Guilt says, I owe you. That you owe somebody an apology. You're living a life that is manipulative, or maybe you're running around on your spouse or whatever it is, that you just feel guilty. You know that you're involved in something that you shouldn't be involved in. I took something, I did something, whatever it is, and I just feel guilt. Maybe they did bump into you. Maybe they did kind of mess you up, but do you owe somebody an apology? If you just hold on to guilt without kind of exchanging, hey, I did this, man, you've got to recognize that will rot your soul. And so if you're struggling with that ugliness and the grossness of guilt, here's what I want you to do. How do you just confess, you bring it out into the light. You look the person in the eye and you say, hey, I've made a mess. And oftentimes, let me just be honest, this might make you not want to do it, but I'm just inviting you to it. You say, I can't do that because if I confess, it's going to be really messy. I get it, but it's already a mess, right? It's already a mess. and you're just managing the mess. What a confession does is it puts a period on the mess and it moves you to, well, let's get to a healthier place. Anger says, you owe me. Guilt says, I owe you. Anger says, and we deal with this. Anger says, you owe me. Somebody took something from you. Somebody, you know, might have been, it could have been something big. These aren't little petty things. Somebody, for you, somebody might have taken your childhood, or somebody took your first marriage, or somebody took an opportunity, or somebody took a future that you thought you had. They took, and you're just so angry. You see them crossing the road, or you see them in the grocery store, you see their posts on Facebook, and that thing just wells up inside of you. You get just so angry, and you feel like they owe you. You feel like they, but, and you know this, especially if it's something really big, they often can't repay you. They can't give you your childhood back. They can't give you your first marriage back. They just can't give it back. And you just walk around, and I just walk around with that anger, and you're just, it's just a stuck place to be. Because people that weren't even involved in that situation bump into you, and what do? You just explode all over them. People that had nothing to do with anything else that's going on, they make a mistake, or they cross you the wrong way, and what happens to you? You just leak. And people say, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. What's the deal? Why are you getting on to me about this? This is... You might have to make a choice. It's really, really hard. It's really hard to just forgive. Forgive. And I know, I get it. Kyle, you're standing on a stage. If I told you my story, you would say that I'm, and I, you're probably right. Like if I sat across from you and if I heard your story, I'd be on your side. I'd be angry at you. I might have to forgive them too. And I'd be tempted to give you a pass. I'd be tempted to say, you do not have to do that. Everybody else forgive, but because of your story and what he did, what they did, the things they stole from you, you hang on to that. I would want to give it. Your Heavenly Father, though, does not want to give that to you. Doesn't want to give you a pass. Do you know why? It's because your Heavenly Father knows something you don't know. Your Heavenly Father knows that anger is rotting you away. It's messing up your heart. It's turning you into a person that you don't want to be. He knows what it's doing to your heart. He knows what it's doing for your soul, to your soul. And so if you've got guilt, go ahead and confess. If you've got anger, go ahead and forgive. And you might have to do it daily. You might have to do it hourly. But you just say, God, once again, I'm forgiving this person. And here's another one, the jealousy. Jealousy. It's. I think it's maybe more prevalent than anything in today's day and age. Is that life owes me. That I should have gotten that promotion. I should have been able to be there. And here's the, it's so gross and it's so ugly. But all of us, I think, we're tempted that we compete with people that don't know that we're in a competition with them. That they don't even know there's a race going on. And here's how you know that this might be going on inside of your heart. It's so gross and it's so ugly, and yet I see it in me sometimes. Here's what we do. We celebrate when things go wrong for other people. Now, not in public, nobody else knows. In public, you say, oh, wow, I really hate to hear that. But inside of your heart, there's a little something that kind of jumps and says, oh, good. I'm glad that worked. I'm glad that didn't work. I'm glad they didn't get that. That when something else doesn't go right for them, again, on the outside, you play the part. We all know how to do that. Oh, that's really too bad. I hate that for them. But there's just that little inward grin that says, good. Because that should have been my opportunity. And if we dig a little bit below the surface, do you know what jealousy and life owes me? Do you know what it really is? And you would, again, we wouldn't put these words on it, but what it really is God owes me. Because God could have made you prettier. God could have brought you up in a better house. God could have given you more money. God could have made you smarter. God could have given you all those things. And so we say, well, I just think that God owes me all of these things. And so if those are some of the sickness that's going on in your heart for jealousy, just make the choice consciously, I'm gonna celebrate people. I'm gonna celebrate what God has given me, and then I'm gonna celebrate honestly what God has given others. That when jealousy starts to creep in, I'm gonna celebrate them privately, and I'm gonna celebrate them publicly. I'm glad that happened. to them. I'm glad that worked for them. And you might have to fake it till you make it, but it just says, I'm not gonna let my heart get into the place. Proverbs said it this way, then we're gonna be done for the day. Guard your heart above all else. Why should we do that, Solomon? It determines the course of your life. Your heart is the steering wheel of your life. Let me ask you this question. Is everything okay in your heart? Everything okay in your heart? Are you mad at anyone? Have you celebrated somebody else's failure? And here's, we can Christianize it. We can Christianize it. Sometimes what that sounds like is, Sally, we've got to really pray for Henry, because let me tell you what's going on. We spiritualize it, the little celebrate. We make it a prayer request, but really on the inside, if we're not careful, it's, hey, this happened to them. How's your heart? Everything okay in your heart? Do you need to ask somebody for forgiveness? Do you owe somebody an apology? Are you holding on to something that happened to you? Somebody owes you something? Surrender your will. Monitor your heart. It'll make sure that the you in the future is the you you'll be able to live with. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you that you have led us so clearly and so perfectly to where we need to be. Lord, I'm praying for people that this is something that's going on inside of them now, that they do recognize there's a gap between the person that I portray and the person I am. Maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's anger, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's something else entirely. Lord, I'm praying that you would reveal to them exactly what they need to do, exactly the steps that they need to take. Lord, we know that it can be messy. We know that it can be really hard. We know that it's uncomfortable, but help us to close that gap. We want our souls to be healthy. And so I'm so grateful that we don't have to do it on our own, that you are so gracious and generous and kind and patient with us. And so what I'm praying is we make the decisions that we need to make, hard as they may be. I'm so grateful that you're with us every single step of the way. Give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage and the faith to do it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.